Dionisio at the plate, he's over to today. Swakowski, the big right hander, lets it go. It's right down Broadway. Dionisio lets it fly, and it's... Oh, it's raining now.
It's time for Rain Delay Theater with Jeremy Dionisio and Jack Swakowski.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rain Delay Theater, the show where two bums talk about other bums at baseball games. I'm Jeremy Dionisio.
And I'm Jack Swakowski.
And we have our first recap episode of the 2024 baseball season. We didn't go to a game, but we did graph the April 2nd Cubs versus Rockies game at Wrigley Field. So we got some stories to talk about from the bus and from our graphing session. Jack, the baseball season's underway. We recorded right before the Ohtani stuff broke, right before the season officially began.
Yeah, it was less than 24 hours before that news broke.
Yeah, unfortunate timing for us, but at this point now, the news cycle has run its course. That Ipe guy's probably on some ledge somewhere or something, I don't know. But I don't know. Jack, I hope we never get into a position where we have to, you know, throw someone under the bus for our podcast.
Jeremy. Here's the thing, man. This is what I was gonna say. Like, the whole thing was really weird because he said that Ohtani helped him, and I think he actually said they logged onto his bank account together and whatever. But I think the point I was gonna make about that is that, like, it's Ohtani, you know, if he was forgiving, because they were in the dugout the next day, like, hanging out after, like, he told that story to reporters. And, like, there's shit, man, our friendship almost ended because I lost one of your pen caps. Like, could you imagine, what would happen if I burned $4.5 million from you, or vice versa? Like, Jesus Christ, man.
That would cause a rift for sure, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, the one thing I'll say that of all the talk about it that I do think, like, it's convenient, but I do believe it. I do buy into it, is just the fact, like, how Ohtani's teammates have said, like, the guy is so immersed in baseball that there's no way he's, like, you know, like, putting together some parlay of some other, like, you know, college basketball game or whatever, like, they found out he was betting on. Like,
yeah.
So that part does seem to ring true. You know, it's like, I can't picture Ohtani, like, practicing his pitching, like, practicing his hitting, and then, like, working on some sort of, like, teaser bet or something, you know?
Sure. You know, what baffles me, though, is that his agent, Nez Bolello, if that's how you pronounce the guy's name, is very, like, he's very precise. He's very exacting. Like, just look at the way Shohei Ohtani's free agency was handled. This agent guy micromanaged everything. $4.5 million of Ohtani's money is also that's also part Nez Bolello's money as well. So you would think that this agent would have had people watching over his bank accounts, Ohtani's bank accounts and his money. And the fact that $4.5 million could just go missing and then, like, nobody would even notice it is pretty wild. So that's I agree that at this point it seems like Ohtani didn't know about it, and it's just kind of a dead issue. I mean, we're going to see the Dodgers game tomorrow. But, that's very confusing that, like, his free agency would be micromanaged to such a degree, yet, like, you know, he's losing millions of dollars, and apparently nobody knows about it.
Yeah, it's odd. I don't know. I don't know how that one slips through the cracks, unless Nez is... in on it too, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But, I think, like, all the interpreters around baseball, Toy Matsushita or Machida, all the guys around baseball, the interpreters, they got to be shaking in their boots a little bit too.
Yeah.
But hopefully they're clean. But, all right. So, yeah, we have baseball to talk about, or we have, ballpark action to talk about. I did go to the game, the home opener the day before, and this whole series with the Cubs Rockies, it's cool how Chicago, like, man, like, decided it did hit 70 at one point, I think in February here in Chicago. And there was a lot of days in the 60s and definitely the 50s. And then it's Chicago waits for the week that baseball returns to the city for it to rain for like five consecutive days. So that's awesome.
Yep, and to be in the 35-40 degree range, which it still is, and probably will be tomorrow too. Weather just will not break. So the whole last week of baseball, even the White Sox home opener last weekend, up to today, has been pretty miserable, and both teams have been at home.
Yeah, and I will, but miraculously somehow none of the games were called off, I don't think.
Yeah, except for that last White Sox game, I think, which was yesterday.
That's right. You're right. That's right. They did actually call one of those off. But then the Cubs played later that day, right?
They did, which was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, weird. I couldn't believe that the Cubs home opener went off without a hitch. I had moved around my work schedule like to be able to go to it, and if it was canceled, I would have like majorly messed things up for me. So luckily we got that in. That was Monday. Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't really too much like major to report, like new. The one thing I'll say, Jack, is it was me, my wife, and my dad. We sat in the upper deck and upper deck reserved, and we got to our seats, and there was like an irremovable layer of grime on our seats, which clearly was like they had not been touched or cleaned or anything since the end of last season.
Oh,
and,
man.
And it was like, that's messed up. It's like, maybe you take it for granted that like they wipe off the seats in between games or whatever at the end of like at the beginning of a homestand. But like, I don't know. Maybe like the workforce is down at Wrigley Field, like they're understaffed there too. But like, it was kind of bogus, like that these seats were like dirty, like to sit down on. Like I was sitting on like my winter jacket, and like so that thing probably got like a layer of film on it. So that was kind of bogus. we'll talk about it on the next episode, but they did change up the scorecards just a little bit on the inside. So we'll talk about that next episode. But yeah, there wasn't anything super, super major to talk about from opening day, like differences. So yeah, but that was Monday, and then Tuesday was the day that Jack and myself like headed out to Wrigley to graph the Rockies bus after the game.
Yeah, we did. I got there first. I was the very first person there. Jeremy, you were on your way at that point, so we met up. The game was a blowout. The Cubs ended up winning that game 12-2, and the last inning and a half was played pretty fast. So. We were both there. We had the catbird seat. We were the first two guys. We were greeted by one of the security guards who we recognized from last year. And man, I tell you, once you get to start knowing these security guards, they're pretty chatty. All the guys who were there recognized us. But this first guy, like, he came up and he gave us a fist bump like right away. It was a little jarring.
Yeah, it was a strong fist bump. Like almost a fist punch, really. And it's interesting. Like we don't know this guy's name. To me, he kind of looks like a Jake or something. I don't know. Maybe even a Chad. But like, we've seen him before, and like, but like, it's weird because I feel like that guy, we've seen him before. I think we've acknowledged each other, but he's never one who's really kind of come up to us and fist bumped us.
No.
But I will say, Jake, actually, like, I mean. There was a couple of people, like there was only a couple of people that we knew. Like there was a new bus driver. There was like, and maybe like these guys haven't started yet or they weren't working that night or whatever. But like, I was a little worried about how many new people there were. Like there were people that we didn't recognize. So,
dude, is the bus driver or is the old bus driver? Was his name Vincent?
Oh, the old one?
Yeah. Or like not the the guy with the cap, you know, like the guy we always see with the watch.
That doesn't sound right.
We're never gonna remember.
Yeah, my vote is for Wendell, but
okay,
or Wesley, but like I don't think it's either one. I mean, we said it, I think, on the last episode of the season.
We did, yeah.
So go back to it. We don't remember our own notes, so hopefully the listeners remember better than us. But yeah, he wasn't there, and he's been there every game for the last two years that we've been doing this, like full time, basically.
He has,
and he wasn't there tonight. So I don't know if he's moved on or what.
No,
but yeah. So these are the things you look for on the first day back. But we did signify with this one guy and it did feel good. Like I gotta say, Jack, I mean, before we even get into all this, I don't know if it really occurred to me like what we were really doing until like maybe shortly before we went out there, but I'm like, man, we're back. This is awesome.
No, I know. It feels good just to be in that spot again. Just to be like watching the game on TV, waiting for it to end. Yeah, it's just, it's a thrill. It's probably, you know, my favorite place to be. I can't think of too many other places that are more fun. You know, and it's truly a place where you don't have to think about anything else but your mission. You know, and there is a sense of community in it too. We were later joined by, you know, our buddy Chris. So, it was good. Sooner or later, Dennis is going to pop up. So, the gang will be reunited again.
I can't wait for the first Friday special.
Oh God, yeah, it ain't gonna be tomorrow because that game's too rich for Dennis's blood. But absolutely. So one guy who was working in a different area was the guy who would typically work in the back of the Cubs parking lot. Yeah. He went on a big lament about Josh. One time.
That's where listeners would remember him best. Like,
yes.
I think it was the last home game of 2022. We were back there, and he gave this like this monologue for like a group of like, I feel like it was like 15 people like at the Cubs lot, talking about Josh and Josh's dad and their motives for autograph hounding.
Yeah, this guy is he's kind of a gas. He always wears a yellow jacket too. You know, not all the security guards do, but he always has one on. And, he got to talking to us, and he was talking about how cold they were for the home opener, and he used the expression, he goes, we were freezing ass. And I've never heard that, I've never quite heard it put that way. You know, I've heard, you know, we were freezing our asses off.
Right.
I think just like the removal of those couple of words, just to say, like, you're freezing ass, like, that's good, man. I'm going to start using that. I like it.
Yeah, I bet Dennis, you know, Dennis probably, that's in Dennis's rotation for sure. But for sure. And then he goes, and he was like, he was going on about it too. And then he goes like, he's like, we were cold, frozen, and wet. And he like, everything he says has like a performative like nature to it. Like, yes. I wonder if he did want to be like a monologist or like, you know, an actor at some point.
No, Jeremy, I was going to say sometimes like things that people say sound like they were written. And that was that was one of those things for sure. Right up to his cadence and how he said it. And then he asked you, he just asked the general room. He's like, yeah, you guys ever work at a sports stadium before? I think it was you, me and Chris at that point. And,
yeah.
I mean, you had. It was a strange question, though. It was almost like he was trying to figure out if we could identify with him or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of threw it out there, and I didn't know. I almost even felt like he was throwing it out there, like saying like, yeah, I know none of you guys have ever worked at a sports stadium before, but I got news for you. It ain't all, you know, cake and ice cream. Like, you know, it's cold and we freeze. But I was like, and then again, I did this thing. I always feel like I'm like, am I doing the wrong thing? Like, I feel like the people who say that most of the times want you to be like, no, I don't know what it's like. And he's like, well, it's fucking cold is what it's like, you know?
Yep.
But I was just being honest. And I'm like, I worked 1 year for the Bears.
Yep.
And he's like, okay. And then he just kind of like, and then I said like, yeah, it was cold. I'm like, there were some cold games there too. And then like, and I didn't even mean it to like kind of rain on his parade or whatever, but he kind of like slunked off after that.
No, for sure. You know, I have thought about that, Jeremy, like, what would it be like to get a job with the Cubs somehow? And I don't think I would want to do it, man. I mean, like, you know, the ballpark is kind of my escape, and I don't think I want it to be a place of work. So I think I would pass on that.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, it's like, you know, on one hand, it's like, it's good to, like your work. But on the other hand, it's like, when you make your job something that you love, like, you run the risk of... finding annoyances with it, you know? So
right.
There is that. I don't know. I don't remember if I've told this story before, Jack, but I might as well, since we got some time to kill. But like, Jack, did I ever talk about the story about when I interviewed to work, to be an usher at the Cubs, like in high school?
Yeah, briefly. You didn't get the job, right?
Right. I did not get the job. Okay. Then the guy who interviewed my friend, Henry, went there, like me and a group of friends from high school went there. And like, I was the only one who really like loved baseball, but we all interviewed, and like, I tanked my interview because they asked me like, so if someone was smoking a cigarette in the intersection and someone came up to you and said, hey, this person's smoking. What would you do? And I said, like, well, I would get my supervisor.
Whatever.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not what they want you to say. They want you to say that you would handle it. So I'm like, I'm like, yeah, I would just get my supervisor. I think I said, like, I'd ask him once. And then if he said no, I'd get my supervisor. But still, I don't think I gave them the right answer. And then my friend Henry, who interviewed, the guy who interviewed us was like this big, huge guy. He kind of looked like the chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He had like long hair, and my friend was like wearing a Metallica shirt or something, and the guy liked Metallica. So they talked about Metallica, and he, my friend Henry, came out and was like, yeah, the guy just talked to me about Metallica for 10 minutes. And then he ended up getting the job.
Sure.
That's how it works there down in Wrigley Field back in the
90s. That's funny though, Jeremy. I do remember you you mentioned the supervisor thing. So
Yeah. That's, I guess that's not what you're supposed to say. But I afterwards I felt the same. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather go to a game here than work here. So
yeah,
same deal.
100%. So you know, there was also Smokey Lady as well, who dressed down the Nationals kid. So yes. She was out in force too. I'm sure we'll talk to her more later in the season. There were not many people at the bus. So in addition to you, me, and Chris, there were maybe a dozen or so other people there. Especially after KB left, Chris Bryant, you know, it cleared out to about four people, like the three of us and this guy with a Rockies jersey. But right at the beginning, when it was just you and me, there were these two guys who came up. I got the impression that they were brothers or cousins or something. One of them was a little older, maybe about our age. And the other one, I almost want to call him a kid, but like he wasn't a kid because I think he had facial hair.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like a early college age type of kid, maybe older than that. I don't know. He was young for his age. But he was like, you know, they were both in Rockies shirts. And like he was too excited like about being there. And so he stood right next to me to my right, and he started talking to me. And it's always a dangerous game, like when you engage people, just because like you know you don't know how it's going to turn out, and usually it turns out bad. Like usually the person ends up being a weirdo. But it's also a difficult situation for me too when there's somebody on my right, because I can't hear out of my right ear. And whenever this guy would talk to me, he would put his hand over his – he would cup his hand over his mouth like he was a pitching coach talking to a pitcher and a catcher. He was telling me some secret every single time. So it was like I had to ask him to repeat everything he was saying because like he had his hand cupped over his mouth. Like, we, you know, because I don't know if he didn't want to blow up our spot or whatever. But he was like, yeah. He was like, who are you trying to get? And I was like, anybody. And he's like, I'm trying to get Charlie. I want to get Charlie Blackman. So he talked about that, and then he asked me, he goes, who do you PC? And I was like, what? And he's like, who do you PC? I was like, I don't know what you mean. And he goes, who do you primarily collect? And I was like, I don't know, man. And anybody. It's like, that's not how jargon works. You can't just make up something and then expect people to know what you're talking about. Like, is that a – Jeremy, I'm just not attuned enough to the collecting community. Is that something that people say?
It is. That's a thing. But it's like – it's one of those things where it's like – it's not like it's clever. It's just like – it's. I think it stands for personal collection, actually. But like, it's just like, hey, I came up with this thing, like PC. It's like, what does that stand for? Well, it stands for two words that begins with a P and a C. It's like, it's not that clever, but yeah, it's personal collection. So it's like, who do you PC? Like, you can also just say, who do you collect? You know, like,
maybe because I couldn't fucking hear the guy because he had his hand over his mouth. But maybe he said, who's in your personal collection or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
In which case, I answered the question wrong. But like, you know, yeah, it was a strange moment. Well, I guess I learned something new now. That's what PC means.
Yeah. It's one of those things where like some people say, and I think they think that they're speaking jargon, but like it's just short for two words. Like, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. It's like, but I did hear him say that though. And I had a feeling like you didn't know that term. And I did say like collect, I'm like, who do you collect? I don't know if you heard me, but like,
I wasn't hearing anything, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. But, that kid was, it's hard to get a read on that kid. Like, he kept saying, like, he's like, yeah, one of the Rockies threw me a ball and I fucking dropped it, man. He's like, I fucking dropped it. Like, and like, he did seem like kind of like an innocent kind of kid, but he was swearing a lot. And like, he just kept saying like how he dropped this ball. I'm like, and then cause he said it to you. And then when Chris showed up, he said it to Chris, and Chris was like, "Hey man, it's happened to all of us." And like, you know, Chris handled that guy the proper way, but like, it was one of those things where like, yeah, it's like, you don't even want to like give him like a human response, because like that might be too much. That might be enough to like have him on your tail the rest of the night.
No, for sure. And the guy who was with him, like the older brother or cousin, whatever, like he was just kind of off to the side, like in his own world. I think he was just glad that this kid had somebody else to like bother for a little while.
And that's a red flag right there. When the person that you're with doesn't want to be involved in your conversation, it's like, you're like, well, I don't want to get roped into it. So, yeah.
I guess just to close the loop on this weirdo, this stuff happened a little bit later in the night. But first of all, like he went away and like he dropped his cards somehow. Because I looked back and like this kid who had showed up, like this little kid, had like two baseball cards in his hand that were top loaded, that were the two cards that this like Rockies guy had with him. I think it was Charlie Blackman and maybe like Chris Bryant. And the kid's like, he was like waving the cards at us. And I was like, is he trying to give us those cards? And you're like, no, like he's asking if we dropped them. And you're like, I think it was, they belong to that guy. And they did. And then I think he ended up getting them back. Cause like he came back, I don't know where he went. But then when Brenton Doyle came over to sign, like 5 minutes later, he was like, oh man. Like, he's like, oh, I had Brenton Doyle. I had him in my pocket. I didn't get him out. And like, and then like, you know, he didn't get him. But, like, I don't think he had Brenton Doyle's card. Like, I think he was just...
I know.
It was just... It was weird. It was a weird weird situation.
I think he only has one, maybe two cards. And, I doubted this guy had him. And, like, yeah, that's right. He's like, he came up to me and I put something out there. And he's like, no, that's not me.
Yep.
And then he's like, oh, but I had him in my pocket. Like, and so, like, yeah. So, he didn't get Brenton Doyle. He also, the cards also, we should say, like, yeah, the reason why I thought they were his is because his cards had like a specific look. Like they were in these kind of like dirty sleeves, basically, like these penny sleeves is what they call like the inner plastic sleeve. And then you put it inside of a rigid like top loader.
Yeah.
But they looked like dirty, and like they just had the look of this guy's cards. Plus the guy did drop them earlier too. Like he like... had him in his hand and he like moved his hand back and the cards like hit the fence, the barricade, and he dropped them. But like, so like, yeah, like the kid said like, hey, are these someone's? And I'm like, I think, and I said to you, I'm like, I bet that those are those guys. And then I go like, I guarantee you they're not prepped either.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Cause they were chrome cards, and chrome cards are made of plastic, and you have to like, some of them are like super, super shiny and glossy, and you have to like prep them with the eraser or baby powder or something, or else like the ink will bubble up. So I'm like, sure. I'm almost positive that these were unprepped and they would have gotten fucked up if you actually did get them signed.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So I don't know what happened to that guy. I think he bailed after the first bus left, but definitely a freak for sure. So eventually some guys started to come out. Jeff Hewson, old former player, now a Rockies announcer, came out. Jeremy, you and I really wanted him. We had some cool, I think we had both had the same card maybe. We both had that Expos card.
Yeah, 1990 Topps card.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, Hewson signed for us. The autograph looks great. He gave me a good one, and I think he gave you a good one too.
Yeah, he gave like a significant like swoosh at the end of mine. Like he did the N and then whoosh, like.
Nice.
Yeah,
signed it with a flourish. And yeah, the blue ink really pops off that card too, which is nice because he's got the Expos uniform on. So it's a nice piece of work. When he signed, you know, he didn't say much, but we thanked him and he went, all right. Like he sounded like a, you know, like a cowboy or something. It was weird. And I looked at his card and he's from Arizona. He's from like Phoenix or something.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I don't think that people from Phoenix talk like that or wherever he's from in Arizona, but. Yeah, that was strange. He was nice. He didn't interact much, but he did sign, and he really only engaged with us. Like he didn't, you know. Sometimes the announcer guys will like engage with the other fans, even though they don't, you know, even though they don't get signed. And like Houston, just like he knew that we knew who he was, so he you know, he signed for us. So it's always kind of nice when that happens. Then Spielborgs came out, Ryan Spielborgs. Jeremy, you had already gotten him in Milwaukee, I think. Mm-hmm. But you made him for me and Chris, because I think Chris got him too.
Yeah.
So that was big. I would not have recognized him probably until maybe it was too late. So that was good. Spielborgs actually went on the bus and then he came back off. He had to drop some stuff off on the bus, but he was as good as his word. He was like, "Yeah, I'll be right back." He came out. He signed for me and Chris, and nobody else was asking for him. There was this little kid next to me, and Spielborgs gave him a fist bump, which was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess he just wanted to one more interaction before he went on. But he was nice. That was really cool. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. He signed. He did like a piece like for like the pregame when I was in Milwaukee, and then he had like a crowd around him, and he signed for like a big crowd of people, which is
nice.
Kind of odd. Like, I don't know if the people even realized who he was, but I got him there, and I didn't have anything else for him, so that one was good for me. But yeah, Chris swept into my spot and got him really quick, and then we traded back basically. But.
Yeah. So that was cool. That was a success. We got both announcers. I had ordered cards specifically for them, so you gotta like that. We did not have much luck with the Rockies overall. I mean, you got Doyle. In general, we weren't really getting guys. They had a bad start to the season. They're now 1-6 as of today. They had to play 3 shitty weather games in Chicago. Tuesday night was exceptionally cold. They got blown out. So it didn't seem like anybody was really in a mood to sign, that which was not our experience last year. However, Kyle Freeland did sign for us. He is off to a historically bad start.
Yeah.
He came down the walkway, and he was he looked like you said he looked like a nu metal guy. He was walking like a nu metal version of the Grim Reaper. He had his hood up, and he was just kind of like lumbering along, and then, you know, there was a family waiting out there too, like inside the gates, and you know, we didn't know who that family was waiting for. Usually, like, families will wait there to greet the players, but Freeland just walks right past the family, and then we call for him, and he comes over and signs for us. Didn't say anything. He was very morose, but yeah. Then right after that, the family was like, "Hey, Kyle," and then like he came back in and talked to them, and then eventually that family went on the bus. Jeremy, I think if we wouldn't have called for Freeland, I think maybe his family wouldn't have known that was him.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Because he had his hood all the way up.
His hood was like so far over his head, and he just like lumbered down the concourse and onto the bus, and yeah, like, so it was funny. Like, we saw him coming. So okay, so basically, he his first game of the season, he gave up 10 earned runs in 2 1/3 inning.
Yep.
And then this night against the Cubs, he gave up 7 earned runs in 3 1/3, which was actually So he actually had a better outing than his first one. But his ERA is 27 right now.
Yep.
Through 2 games, he's 0-2. He looked like he just gave up 17 earned runs in his first 2 starts of the season.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, okay, there's no way he's signing. I think even before he came out, like, we were like, well, one guy we won't be getting is Kyle Freeland.
Yep.
And Chris, it's funny, he came out and like we were like, oh man, like he looks bad. And like Chris, I heard Chris go like, man, he looks down bad. Which is like, I found out is like a term that people that like kids are using these days.
Oh, really?
But I actually think it means like someone who's like lovesick, kind of like who's like really like kind of broken up over a girl.
Sure.
But Chris is younger than us, so I was like trusting his usage of it. But he's man, he's down bad. But he came out. We called for him, and he kind of come over, and like he stopped for a second, and like kind of looked, and like just kind of like wandered over to us and signed for us. And he did. Were you the one that told me he signed? He like hugged Tyler Kinley or something.
I was reading it. The article was on MLB.com, but Tyler Kinley came up to him and gave him a hug for like 10 seconds after the game. So like,
yeah,
he must have been really down at his locker and stuff. Well,
And then he went to when he saw his family. He I don't know if it was his dad or his brother or what, but like he hugged the first guy he went up to like for a really long time.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
I'm sure it was the exact same like way that he hugged Kinley, but
right. We should have tried to give him a hug, man.
Well, I was, yeah, and so then we were saying, like, I'm like, maybe we gave him a little boost by, like, yeah. He's like, at least there's some guys who still want my autograph, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man, about being a Major League Baseball player is that no matter how bad you are, there's going to be somebody who wants your autograph.
Yeah, yeah, and hopefully, you hope that at least those people know who they are, who you are when they're asking for it. But
right.
They also said the last time Kyle Freeland pitched at Wrigley Field was when he beat the Cubs in game 163. Or in the one game playoff, so maybe on a smaller hand, F you, Kyle Freeland, but you know, but for real, like it was, yeah, that's obviously rough. The guy's been in the league for like I don't know, like six years at this point, five 6 years, and like, you know, and just any you inherently feel bad for any pitcher who pitches for Colorado. And like, it's a bad start, and you know, you never know, like, if that's at the end of the line for a guy. He's 30 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to wonder too with a guy like that, because I think he was a first round draft pick. I do know he's from Denver, and it's like, you know, if he had been drafted by another team, would his career have taken a different trajectory?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he probably has had that thought too. So yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, who knows, man? Maybe some team will kick the tires on him after this year just to see if this was a fluke, if he continues to pitch bad.
Yeah, no, in reality, a 30-year-old former first-round draft pick who's pitched his entire career with the Rockies will definitely get another chance with another team. So,
yes.
You know, it would be interesting to see what will happen. And maybe, yeah, I guess if he can kind of regulate it enough, maybe he could be acquired at the deadline by a contender. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, definitely cool to get him. He's a guy we had not gotten yet.
Yeah.
One guy who really, really snubbed us was Alan Trejo.
Yeah.
You know, we called out for him as he was coming out, and there was no question that it was him. And so we called for his name, and he just looks over at us, and it was one of those things where he looked at us and it seemed like he was maybe gonna peel off, but then he just goes, "No," and shakes his head and then walks on. And it's like,
we go,
"Damn,
like,
dude."
We say like, we were like, "Alan, you got time for one?"
Yep.
And he looks and he's like, "No." And Jesus, it's like, yeah, man. I mean, I give him the 2024. He's an early contender for the 2024 Connor Joe Award.
Yes.
For a fucking scrub who should be signing for people and for some reason has some sort of stance where he's not going to sign for someone. It's like,
yeah,
that's a quintessential kind of guy who's like, should be lucky. You should be lucky someone wants your autograph.
that was an actual grapher who said that, right?
I think so. That's the Rios. Rios, you're a bum.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's what he says. He's like, "You should be lucky someone wants your autograph."
that's good. Yeah, I mean, Trejo's definitely not going to win the Robinson Chirinos Award for the guy who's been great all year. So, you know.
Yeah.
What a dick though. Ryan McMahon, who I think I got for the third time, and Jeremy, maybe you the fourth, I don't know, but
it might be, yeah.
Yeah, we, you know, he came out and hell, we've both already gotten him multiple times, but why not? We both had a card of his, so we called him over and he came over and he was like, "Yeah, you guys are out here braving the cold." And it's like, you know, it's like, hell yeah, man. He acknowledged that we were it's like he signed for us because we were putting the work in. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, he kind of like it was. He looked like he was gonna go on the bus, and he's like, "You guys are out here braving the cold." So like, yeah, I almost wonder if like they were like, "We got our asses kicked. We're not gonna sign." But then he's like, "Oh, but these guys worked for it." So
right, yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking through my cards here, Jeremy, because I'm trying to get my cards together for the Dodgers. I just see another random Ryan McMahon card. It's like, you know, will I go to that well again someday? Probably, you know. The answer is probably yes. yeah, but man, the coaches though. Hensley Mullins is the hitting coach. I had a card for him. I had a card for Ronnie Gideon. Jeremy, you brought Reed Cornelius, who mm-hmm. I got at Coors Field. You know, former relief pitcher who pitched for maybe one or two seasons. But yeah, man, all the coaches except for Daryl Scott snubbed us. I got Scott and Coors last year, but you had a card of his, a major league card. I got mine in a minor league card, but. He signed for you, so that was at least cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I did really sell out for him because I think I had just gotten snubbed by Reed Cornelius.
Yeah, yep.
And so I really wanted Daryl Scott, and so I'm like, "Hey, Daryl!" Like, I feel like I mean, I didn't really yell it, but I really hit the D. I'm like, "Hey, Daryl!" And like he came over and he signed for me, and yeah, it was cool. I got him on this, like, I think it's 1993 Fleer. Yeah, 1993 Fleer Angels card. And I didn't think about it afterwards. I didn't really think about that he was on the Angels, but he was teammates with Mark Langston. And cool. And maybe, I mean, maybe that wasn't the time to ask him about that, but I would have been like, hey, man, you got any, you know, thoughts on Langston? Like, he was one of my favorite players, but they had just gotten their asses kicked, and he's the pitching coach. So,
right.
Yeah, might not have been a good time, but he was, he seemed pretty cool about it.
Yeah, he was. And he was cool when I got him in Denver, too. But yeah, man, Ronnie Gideon, who I think is their first base coach, but I bought a minor league card of his on eBay, and I don't think it was cheap either. I think it was a couple bucks. And, you know, I've asked him twice now. I asked him last year and this year, and both times he completely ignored me. I think the guy just doesn't sign.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you have that that Gideon last year, too?
I sure did. And I had it even in Denver, too, but I didn't see him there. But I saw him at Wrigley, and he completely ignored me twice.
Yeah, that's weird. You wonder if he's the kind of guy who, like, because who did I say it about? Like, wasn't even expecting to be asked. Bud Black.
Yeah.
Bud Black sometimes has that attitude of, like, he's not even expecting someone to be asking for his autograph. And I would say definitely Ron Gideon would fit. Should probably fit that profile of someone who you wouldn't be expected to be asked, but I mean you said Ron, like, whatever, so it's like,
yep,
I don't know, it is weird that he wouldn't sign.
No, totally. And then last but not least, Buddy Black and Mike Redman came out. You know, me and Chris were trying to get Black, and you wanted Redman, so we called for, you know, both of them, and Redman looked over, man, but he just went on the bus, and Bud Black didn't even look.
No.
He just went on, you know, so I missed Bud Black again. What's funny, though, is so he got on the bus and he sat in the front seat because he's the skipper, and then I held my card up at him, like, you know, you did with Maddox that one time.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I know he saw it, man, I know he saw it, because then, like, you know, he started looking at his phone. But, you know, the bus was still waiting there. I think it was waiting for Charlie Blackman. And then so you, me, and Chris were like, man, should we just go to the Cubs, see if there's anybody there? And so we walked, you know, you have to walk in front of the bus to be able to head north. So as we walked in front of the bus, I looked into the, you know, the front window. And, like, Bud Black, like, he must have sensed that we were, like, doing that. And he looked up and we locked eyes. And, like, so he was aware, man. He was aware that I was there. You know, but whatever. Then I broke eye contact and he, you know, looked down at his phone. So, you know, right. He eluded me for another year. I do think if I would have braved the cold last night, I think he might have remembered me, but it was too shitty out and I wasn't up to it. So I didn't go.
I mean, aside from the cold, it's just like, if there's any sort of condensation in the air, it's going to get on your card. So it's just like, it's a real risky thing. Like, the one year, the last year, the time I graphed the Red Sox and, like, a storm came in, like, I luckily had a plastic bag, like a jewel bag, and I was holding, I was, like, laying that over my book, but, like, you just, like, you, as soon as you pull your card out, like, I guess you have your binder pages, so, like, that might help a little bit, but as soon as you pull it out to have it signed, like, it's gonna get wet, and then if the marker goes over the raindrops, like, it's bad, so it's, like, even if you want to go out there, it's like the rain just kind of makes it a pretty risky business, you know, risky venture.
Yeah, 100%. You didn't go last night, did you?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I did not. But yeah, we did walk over to the Cubs, and they had already closed down the corral. I did notice on Monday that the corral is the same size, but the kids' portion of the corral has started engulfing the adults' portion. So that's probably how it should be, but whatever.
Right.
So we'll see what happens there. But we were there for a little bit, and there were a good amount of guys still coming out. We saw Leiter, we saw Yency Almonte, we saw Yan Gomes. You know, there was a steady stream. There was one guy who came out who, like, he must have, you know, heard about Kyle Freeland's hood, and he, like, added some extra fabric on his. This guy came out, and it almost looked like, I'm like, can this guy even see? He was, like, so cloaked in this hood, and he had some guys coming out with him. We didn't know who it was, but we were pretty sure it was a player. And then it's kind of maybe died down a little bit. And then the same Cubs security guard, the first guy who came over to us and gave us like that vehement fist bump, he came over and he's like, "Hey man, like, you know, like they told me that Miguel was the last one out. So just want to let you guys know." And, I'm like, "Oh, that was Miguel Amaya." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah." And, I think he was talking about the guy in the hood. So we kind of waited a little bit because that's happened before where the security guards will actually tell us like, "Yeah, that was the last guy." But then there's been other guys who've come out.
Yep.
I don't know if they make them say that like right before they leave. Cause those guys get cut before everyone's gone.
Oh, 100%.
And so I wonder if like their bosses are like, "All right, if there's anyone out there when you leave, just tell them that was the last guy. So at least we've like, you know, covered our ass or something."
Right.
You know, but we stayed for a little bit, but it was bitterly cold. So we like Chris took off and then we decided to call it a night.
We did. We gave it a good try, man. But I was spent.
Yeah. Yeah. It was rough. And then I think it was like starting to drizzle and stuff. So it was not conducive.
No.
So, you know, we just got it last night. I figured like, I'm like, it's rainy. Like I'm playing the percentages that like, what are the odds that Shota will sign? Cause right now Shota is my number one target. And it sucks that he had that good game a little bit because now everyone's going to like want him even more. But, you know, I was like, what are the odds of that happening? And then plus I was only going to stay for Shota. And I'm like, if I'm going to stay, I might as well stay till the end and try to get counsel. But Tuesday was just too cold to stay out there that long.
Yeah, 100%, man. Tomorrow we're going to our first game. We're going to the Dodgers versus the Cubs. I do not have a good feeling about getting any Dodgers autographs tomorrow, but that doesn't mean we're not going to try.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, to get anybody, it might have to be pregame down the line. And so we'll be able to get there for that. They, you know, it's a day game, first game of the series. That's usually not conducive to BP. But the Dodgers were off today, I believe.
Yeah.
So they probably got in, you know, like early tonight and had some time to settle in and then get to the ballpark early. So I think they will be taking BP, but yeah, I don't know. Yamamoto is starting Saturday, so there's always a chance like he could not be there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first week of the season. He's new to the team. I feel like he's going to be there. So who knows? Could get lucky. Ohtani does sign, but you know, we'd really have to hit the big one to get him. So we'll see. But I'm also keeping my expectations low, but we're going to be out there anyway, like you said.
Hell yes, we will. And we will be there with the recap as well. Yep. So for this week, in Rain Delay Theater, I'm Jack Swakowski.
And I'm Jeremy D'Anicio.
We'll see you next time.
Later.